Shredder reporting for DomesticFuel.com. And I am with Lewis Bainbridge, who's with the United Soybean Board. And Lewis, you are from Ethan, South Dakota. How are you liking this weather in Vegas?
I love it. It's bright, it's sunset shiny, but it's dry, just like home. So those first two are good, but the dry part is not so good.
No, it's not. So how were your crops last summer?
We had just about a total wipeout. We had incredible drought as well as heat, so our crops were way less than average.
But even though they're less than average, they're still probably better than most anywhere in the world, aren't they?
Oh, I suspect so, yes. So we're thankful for what we had. We have livestock, so we produced enough feed for the livestock for the year, so we're thankful for that.
Well, you know, we're here at the National Biodiesel Board Conference, and I know United Soybean Board has been one of the initial sponsors dating back 20 years to supporting this organization. So, you know, how did you sort of go about getting this collaborative together? You know, why are you here? Why are you supporting this organization so heavily?
Obviously, as a farmer and livestock producer, I've been involved with the checkoff business for a long, long time, and a huge supporter of products such as biodiesel. Our particular state of South Dakota was one of the initial states to help get the biodiesel board going. And also, I enjoyed the clip today where they were having flashbacks of what went on. We had a kickoff in South Dakota in the early 90s, and I was there. I was not involved with the checkoff at the time, but a good friend of mine was. And that's how we got started using biodiesel, with a 5-gallon pail and just pouring some in. And we was at a very, very minor percentage at that point in time, but we knew that it increased our lubricity and the life of our pumps and engines and so forth. So that's kind of my start in the biodiesel business, if you will.
So, you know, the biodiesel board has been extremely busy these last few years, especially last year, you know, defending the renewable fuel standard. You know, you did have a huge win when they upped the amount of gallons, but I sort of feel from an outsider looking in that we haven't even tapped the potential of what this industry can do. And, you know, as a grower yourself, you know, how far do you think you can go? How much can you produce, and where do you think we can take this industry?
I suspect the marketplace will dictate that, you know, because this is not a cure-all. Biodiesel, wind, ethanol, any of those are not a cure-all. But if you have a mix of all of them, you're going to help us wean ourselves from the foreign oil. So I see it as a huge, huge deal for us. Having been involved with this for a long time, I'm just totally amazed at the huge growth that we've seen in the industry. So it's really gratifying to see a win-win situation.
Well, we're on our way to see some of your work in action here, Lewis. We're going to hit a biodiesel facility, and we're going to see some other co-products. What do you think is going to be your favorite part of this tour?
Oh, I suspect probably the biodiesel plant will be very interesting to me, because we did have a biodiesel plant for a period of time, and we burned E99.9 on our farm. So we went from a very, very minor inclusion up to essentially 100% biodiesel on our farm. And we've done that for a number of years, so it's not just a flash in the pan, shall we say. But we've been very, very pleased with it and very thankful that we can utilize it.
So, you know, Lewis, I'm going to digress for just a moment. I find it fascinating that you're saying you're literally using a B100 blend on your farm. And I know there's a lot of growers who don't use a lot of biodiesel in their operations, but what's your experience been with it?
Our experience has been nothing but positive. Obviously, there's some learning involved with it. You know, we were using it before, you know, you were kind of aware of you should have your tanks cleaned and that sort of thing. So we learned along the way that you need to have a clean tank to start with. And, you know, the same way living in South Dakota, it gets cold there. So you have to kind of decide when is the last time that you should fill up everything with essentially 100% biodiesel. Through the winter now, we've burned up to B5, B10 in our farm tractors. We start 3 tractors every day to do chores. So we do have a heated shop, but we're still burning a fairly significant percentage through the winter.
So, you know, in closing, Lewis, there's a lot of growers out there, a lot of biodiesel producers out there who potentially are not members. members of National Biodiesel Board. So what's, you know, let's give some of them some words of encouragement on why it's so important for this industry to stick together and collaborate and cooperate.
Well, from where I sit as a farmer, it's really gratifying to utilize our product. First of all, we grow a new crop of it every year, so why shouldn't we use it? And I suspect if you as a farmer that are not presently using it, if you get a hold of your fuel supplier and give them the choice of selling your fuel with biodiesel in it and not, they will listen to you. That's what we did with ours a number of years ago. So we were able to get it, and there's certainly areas in the country that will not. But I would encourage you to ask for it and use it, and continue to be involved with what's going on. So this is a good organization, and I'm very thankful to be involved with it on a small degree.
Great, thanks, Lois.
Thank you.